My sermon is from 2 Timothy 3, and I invite you to turn to that passage on page 1057, 2 Timothy 3. And let's read the chapter together. Second Timothy 3, verses 1 through 17. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Our text starts here at verses 14 through 17. Let's read that together. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. May God bless this word to our hearts and lives. Now, I got these manuscripts out so late that I don't think there's any translation in them. Is that correct? My apologies. What the pastor's wife doesn't have to put up with. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, often 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, that great passage on the inspiration of Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is cut out from its context and a rope is put on it and it's lifted up. But what I would like to do with you this afternoon is see this passage, verses 14 through 17 of 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy 3, in the context of the whole chapter, 2 Timothy 3, and may God bless us by it. The knowledge of the Holy Scriptures, that's where verse 14 starts. But you, Timothy, must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Paul begins to speak to Timothy here about the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. Timothy, was a young pastor in the church at Ephesus. He was young, he was timid, and he was feeling overwhelmed by the pressures and the troubles of ministry. He lived and worked in a world that was very hostile to the Word of God. The context that you read there in 2 Timothy 3, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Right? But Timothy was already facing these types of perilous times of those who fought against the faith and the Word of God. And so this is written to Timothy in this context. We live in the same sort of context today. But in the midst of great troubles, Timothy enjoyed great advantages. And Paul was directed by the Spirit of God to remind Timothy of these advantages and to hold on to them. What advantages did Timothy have? Well, first he had the Word of God in his possession. He had the sacred writings. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings, the Holy Scriptures. And then verse 16, all Scripture, all the sacred writings are given by inspiration of God. He had the Word of God, the sacred writings, which are inspired by God Himself. How dark is this world without the light of the Holy Scriptures, showing us the way, the truth, and the life. And how lost are we in that darkness if we don't have the sacred writings? To possess the Word of God, brothers and sisters, is the greatest gift of all. It's hard for me to appreciate. I've never been without it. Maybe some of you have had a time in your life where you did not have the Scriptures. What a gift, the light of God. Let's be thankful that God has brought us to His Word in one way or another. Maybe your parents. He brought this Word to you, the sacred Scriptures, through your parents. All right? Maybe through a neighbor. Maybe through a radio program or television broadcast. Praise God that all of us here have the Word of God. We have it in our possession. The second advantage Timothy had was that he knew the Scriptures and he was assured of their truth. He was convinced of them. That gift of knowing them and being convinced of them is just as great. To have the Word of God without knowing it, for many it's just a museum piece. It's up on the shelf collecting dust. And it's not used, and they hope that just by having a Bible in the home, somehow they'll be protected. That's of no value at all. To have it without knowing it is of no value. And to know the Word without believing it and being assured of it will not rescue you either from the evil passions that lead men astray. But when by the Holy Spirit you know the Scriptures and you are assured of their truth, this is a knowledge that bears much fruit. It's a power. It's really, there's three blessings to knowing and being assured of the Word. It's a power, first, that protects us from the destructive desires of sin and the lies of false teachers. Scripture describes it as armor. It's a protective armor and guard against lies and against falling prey to evil desires. Secondly, it's also a power that supports us, like good counsel, good and godly counsel, a counselor, a comforter. Power that supports us when we're discouraged by life's difficulties and disappointments, and we all face those, right? But thirdly, the Bible also calls it spiritual milk that causes us to grow up in our salvation. It helps us to make progress in our doctrine and life. Helps us to make progress as a man of God and as a woman of God. It's a great blessing to know and be assured of the Holy Scriptures. But 3 Timothy had another great advantage, that he had been brought up in the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures from childhood. Paul pays special attention to this. Knowing from whom you've learned the sacred writings, and that from childhood you have known them. From childhood. Now, as Timothy is struggling there against false teachers in the church at Ephesus, they're twisting the Scriptures into a false message. Paul reminded him, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures from childhood. And that would serve Timothy as a great encouragement, not only that he had the Scriptures and he knew them and was assured of them, but that he was raised on them. He was raised on them. He was deeply rooted in them. He was greatly blessed and built up by them. The Scriptures had made Timothy wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God had turned him into a man of God. The Word of God had turned him from a child into a man of God. So, Timothy, just because you're facing false teachings and you're facing pressures, don't despair of the power and authority of these Scriptures which turned you into a man of God. Why should your confidence in the Bible that you've had from childhood waver even for a second? Now, that's the encouragement and the admonition to Timothy. And Paul called special attention then to this fact in Timothy's life. You've had the Scriptures and you've known them from childhood. And when Paul first met Timothy on his second missionary journey in the city of Lystra in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, Timothy was at that time, Acts 16, verse 2, a man well spoken of by the brethren at Lystra, a man well spoken of because of his faith. He was well grounded in his Christian faith and life because of a solid upbringing in the Word of God. And for this reason, Paul found in Timothy a readiness to learn, to become a minister of the gospel. He found in Timothy a readiness to grow in sound doctrine because he'd been raised in it from childhood. You see, what your parents do with the Bible in your childhood still brings great benefits to you when you're an adult. So Paul, to encourage Timothy now as an adult, is appealing to what he learned in his childhood. So sometimes, parents, when we're teaching our children the Word, we're just focused on the right now. But what you're doing now, when you're laying the Scriptures on their life, will be of great blessing to them as believers when they're adults still. So the Apostle Paul saw in Timothy a sincere faith, but he also saw how the Lord developed this in his life already as a young child. He wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. It was passed on from grandmother Lois to mother Eunice and now to you. That's how from childhood you knew the Holy Scriptures. Now we ourselves maybe did not have this advantage of growing up with the Word of God. But you know what? Your children do have that advantage, don't they? What a great advantage, dear Christian parents. The greatest blessing of the covenant for children is that your children get to grow up on the perfect and powerful sacred writings, the Holy Scriptures. They get to be planted in the rich soil of God's Word when their hearts are and minds are still very young and tender. And Solomon wrote that about his own experience in the book of Proverbs. He wrote, when I was a son with my father, when I was tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered. And if you run, you will not stumble. Keep hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Wow. What a gift from God to have such a childhood. Children, you are so rich. You are so blessed. Your parents may have not enjoyed this blessing of being knowing the scripture from childhood, but you do. Sadly, too often Christian households fail to appreciate how great this gift of God is for children. And many times we don't make use of this blessing the way God wants us to. But it was such an important part of who Timothy was that even when he was struggling with troubles in the ministry of Ephesus, Paul called attention not only to the fact that he knew the scriptures and was convinced of their truth, but also to the fact of how long ago he learned it and from whom, even from his mother and grandmother. John Calvin notes in his commentary, and I quote, that Timothy knew the Holy Scriptures from childhood. Paul writes this is no ordinary addition, for he had been accustomed from his infancy to the reading of the Scripture. For this long habit may make a man much more strongly fortified against every kind of deception. This long habit may make a man much more strongly fortified against every kind of deception. And then Calvin writes, and it ought to be reckoned a remarkable instance of the kindness of God if any person from his earliest years has thus acquired a knowledge of the Scriptures. Well, then the Apostle Paul moves from Timothy's knowledge of Scripture. He has them. He knows them. He's assured of them. He's known them from childhood. They made them wise for him, wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He moves from that now to describe the Scriptures in verses 16 and 17. But again, I want to, when I look at the perfection of the Holy Scriptures with you here, put it in the context of the corruption of the false teachings that 2 Timothy 3 talks about. How there's such a contrast here between what false teachings do and what the perfect Word of God does to people. So Paul begins 2 Timothy 3. He ends by saying all Scripture is given by inspiration. But he begins this chapter by saying, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And in this chapter, the Holy Spirit describes what it is like to live and serve the Lord in a culture of corrupt minds which reject the faith of Holy Scripture. It's like standing at the edge of a sea with huge waves crashing over you, wave after wave of opposition to the Bible, and wave after wave of persecution and ridicule. And yet we have to stand firm. As Christians like Timothy, we must continue. I want you to continue in the things you learned. No matter what's going on around you, no matter how perilous the times are, and how much persecution you have to suffer, Timothy, continue. Don't back down. Don't cave into the pathway of least resistance. Continue. Why? First, for a negative reason, or what the lies will do to you. Why continue? Because the lies that are out there, the falsehoods, will not do anything to build you up. Like what Lois and Eunice taught you from the Bible built you up. These lies will not do that to you. Evil men, verse 13, and imposters, false teachers, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And you see that everywhere. When people stake their claim against the Scripture and against the Christian church, inevitably their lives will go to destruction. Every time. Timothy, don't be tempted then to take the easy route and give in to those who are making things difficult for you. Yes, even though he was rooted in the good soil of sound doctrine since childhood, Timothy's still vulnerable to falling. And he must keep fighting the good fight of the faith. No Christian and no pastor is so strong that he cannot fall. No one is so strong that he does not have to be on guard against the lies of Satan. So Timothy, if you or your fellow Christians take the route of wandering from the Scriptures, your faith in your life will become shipwrecked. Here's an encouragement, especially to the elders here at New Horizon. Timothy's being assaulted, and he's feeling like crawling into a hole and getting away from it. That especially comes out in 1 Timothy. And Paul comes along and admonishes and encourages him. That's what you need to do with your pastor. Sometimes pastors fall. They give up. They quit. They sink. And when a note like that comes to our consistory, and our elders are gathered around the table, we talk about it. And it's not a reason to gossip about that other pastor that fell, but it's a reason to be reminded that the elders need to stand around their pastor and take care of him. The last time such a note came to our council or to our consistory, I said to my fellow elders, "Brothers, I'm not as strong as I think I am, and I'm not as strong as you think I am. Please watch out for me." Why continue in the things you've learned? Because the lie can't build you up. But also, secondly, the positive reason, because what you have learned from the Scriptures since childhood and what you've become convinced of, that is the holy and perfect Word of God, which does build you up, does make a man of you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, it says, all Scripture is breathed out from God. God breathed. Think about that. Imagine having God Himself breathing on you since you were a child. That's what it's really like. That's what's happening every time you take time to read and hear the teaching of Holy Scripture. Don't underestimate the power of this divine gift called the Bible. The Word is able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, because it's God's breath, and His breath formed the world. So certainly His breath can form you. His Word, the Bible, can form you. The Word has the power to make you stand up when you're weary of the battle against the Word, the devil, the world, and your sinful flesh. Paul said earlier to the elders of the same congregation, Ephesus, before Timothy became pastor there, he said, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and able to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, able to bring you all the way to glory." That's the word of His grace. The Scriptures are not the constantly changing opinions of men. They're the unchanging Word of God on which we can build our lives. Jesus said this about the Word: "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock." You want to build your house on sand, your life on sand, and break down when the storms come? Ignore the Word. Shove it out of your life. You want to build your life on solid rock so that you'll stand when the floods come? Build on the teachings of Jesus. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. So many have made it their lifetime ambition to discredit the Holy Scriptures, but it happens without fail, without fail. Look at every objection to Scripture that has been raised over these thousands of years. Without fail, the error that's proposed against the Bible falls down. While the Scriptures stand firm, prove themselves true every time, it also happens that the lives of those that promote the error, they also fall down flat and descend deeper and deeper into misery. While the lives of those who stand on this inspired God-breathed word are built up and richly blessed by God, So the Bible's truth continues to be confirmed by history, by science, by archaeology, by psychology, by experience, and every other field of study. Just a little note here. This summer, an article in Life Science Journal described a massive gate structure, and they're calling it the Goliath Gates, in Israel. It's not fully uncovered yet. They've just discovered the top of it, which is believed to belong to the ancient Philistine city of Gath. As they uncover more and more of these remains, it confirms all that the Bible says about the gates and walls of the ancient Philistine cities. This keeps happening, this kind of thing. These words are from the mouth of God, these 66 books. Therefore, these words are perfect, they're flawless, they're the oracles of God. Jesus often appealed to them. Have you never read the Scriptures? He would ask. He trusted them fully as God's unbreakable word. He said, the Scriptures cannot be broken, John 10, verse 35. And Jesus often said, Scripture says, and when he said that, he meant God says. Because for him, Scripture itself is God opening his mouth and talking. Some additional verses there on the infallibility of Scripture. Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. Or Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And Psalm 119, verse 160. All your words are true, all your righteous laws are eternal. And then Paul goes on to describe for Timothy the power of Scripture. Because the Bible is inspired by God, it's powerful to keep on building you up in your doctrine and your life. It never stops working. You're never finished product. The Bible's never finished with you. So that's a reason to continue in what you've learned. It's not an empty word. It's not a powerless ink on a page. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pastor Timothy, an adult, mature in faith, still needs the word as he faces all kinds of assaults. It's the word of truth, it's the word of salvation, and the word of life. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says this about the word of God. The word of God is living and active. It's not powerless ink on a page. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God can go where nobody and nothing else can go in your life. And the reason it is so powerful, and the reason the word is able to do so much for us and in us, even when we're children, but also when we're teenagers, and again when we're adults, is that it is the word of Christ. The Bible is the message of Christ crucified and raised for sinners. And as we read it, the Holy Spirit, as it were, leaps from the page into your life. And what does he do when he leaps from the page into your life? He's planting Jesus in you, and he's forming Jesus in you as we abide in the Word. So Colossians 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, while Ephesians 3, 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And these two mean the same thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly means Christ dwelling in you. As you abide in the word of Christ, Christ by the Spirit enters into your life more and more, increases your strength, makes you more and more complete as a man of God. It's a living word that acts upon us and in us as we read and as we study it in faith. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul calls it the word of God which is at work in you, who believe. It's that word that worked in Timothy when he was a young child. The same word that shaped him into a man of God in his teenage years. The same word that trained and equipped him to become a pastor when Paul took him under his wing. And the same word that now would support him and strengthen him in the challenges and difficulties of his ministry. So, Timothy, continue in what you have learned. Don't go to other sources for your comfort and wisdom. Keep drinking from that same word that saved you and raised you and equipped you. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so, brothers and sisters, this divine Word from God's own mouth has not only the power to save your life, but to change your life, to shape your life, to equip you for every good work. It's able to get you ready for any task, able to get you ready for university, for any calling God has for you, any work. Here he's speaking to the man of God as a pastor, to Timothy, but in a broader way, it's true for all God's people. It's true for dads and moms, able to equip you and make you complete as a dad, as a mom, raising your children, as a husband, as a wife, loving each other in the Lord, as children, growing up under your parents' instruction and admonition, for homemakers, for teachers, firefighters, electricians, accountants, computer programs. This is the power that shapes you and molds you and builds you so that you stand firm. So grandpas and grandmas, I don't know if there are grandpas or grandmas here. Yes, there are. Grandpas and grandmas, you are the Loises. I think it was Lois. Moms and dads, if you want your children to be Timothys when they're older, you have to raise them as Timothy when they're younger. And waste no opportunity to teach the Scriptures when you lie down and when you rise up. Now I'm quoting from Deuteronomy 6. When you sit at home and when you walk by the way. And boys and girls, as you get older, you need to take over this work for yourself, of digging into the Holy Scriptures and learning the Word of God and not letting yourself become too busy for the Bible. And when you become adults and enter the university setting or the workplace or begin a family, don't ever become too good for the Word or too strong for it or too smart for the Bible, because you need it all the time, no matter what you're calling. It's our constant source of strength that protects us. It supports us and sanctifies us. I close with a word the Apostle John wrote, 1 John 2, verse 14, the word of Jesus. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. Why are you strong? And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Amen. Let's pray.